Well, how many of you want to take the kingdom this year? Amen. This morning, we're praise the Lord. We're going to start actually with a scripture in Romans chapter 2, and the subject matter is full throttle. And the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, in the Passion Translation, says, "Be enthusiastic, serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him." Hallelujah. We need a dose of excitement in the church in this hour. Glory to God. Get back to it. How many of you are excited? Yes. Well, you can be excited by faith. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Powerful scripture there. And this week we want to talk about attitude. Do y'all have an attitude? A good attitude? Praise the Lord. Now, another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, and this carries on in every day of our life. And I know I was talking to Pastor Judy this morning. We've got to do it by moment, take every thought captivity into captivity to the obedience of Christ, casting down imagination and so on and so forth. Now, this is kind of what God is talking to the children of Israel about in Deuteronomy. It says, "I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose." I can stop right there. Therefore, choose. We actually have the power, human beings, to choose what kind of attitude we have every moment and every day. And some of you might say, you know, I don't just, sometimes I just, you know, let's be honest. Some people have temper problems. Some people have other problems that they have dealt with. But how many of you know that can be overcome? And it is a decision. Hallelujah. So God is saying to the children of Israel, now you got the blessing. You can have the fullness. You can have everything that I promised you. And on the other hand, he said, you can also have death. See, it isn't God's decision on how far we go with him. Come on now. It isn't God's decision. He's already written a book about us in heaven. Now, if we would get on his course and on his track, all of these things we already know. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "My thoughts are not evil towards you, but good." Amen. To bless you, to prosper you, and to give you an expected end. But it's our choice whether we're going to get on that path or not. And most of it has to do with an attitude issue. He says, choose life. He's encouraging us to choose life that both you and your descendants may live. See, I know we're not talking about family today, but it carries on. I mean, children pick up on our attitudes as parents. And of course, they have their own attitudes that they deal with through different stages of life. And of course, they're not going to do what we say as much as they're going to do what we do. Right? That's why God told some of the Old Testament people, Abraham, for instance, and in Deuteronomy, to train up your child in the ways that they should go. Hallelujah. And when they are grown, they'll not depart from it. So it is our example. Amen. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, we're kind of teaching this morning, but it's so important to do that. The Apostle Paul tells young Timothy about the condition of the last days. Now, the Bible says we as born-again children of God, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But it's amazing how much of the world has crept into the church and into our lives. Well, basically because we have 24-hour-a-day programming on TV. When I was growing up, it went off at midnight. Amen. And you had this weird thing you had to look at. And you probably had three stations. But now it goes on 24 hours, 7 days a week. that we have the television, we have social media, and all of these things that are being input into our soul. And our souls are becoming contaminated with the things of the world. That's why it's so important that we judge and we look at what we are allowing to come into our lives. Because eventually, if we dwell on something long enough, it will become part of our attitude. It will drive us one way or another. But this is what Paul said that's going to be in the last days. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And this portion of Scripture just will show you that we are in the last days. It says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, and forgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. We see that all around us, all right? So we are living in this society 24 hours, 7 days a week. That's why we've got to be in the Word of God. That's why we have to be filled with God. Pray without ceasing. Do these things, spiritual exercises all the time to keep ourselves from being contaminated. Now, there are four attitudes that I want to talk about, and they're listed there in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. It says, they are unthankful, unholy, unloving, and unforgiving. Those are areas that unfortunately the church is exhibiting in a lot of areas, okay? The church as a whole. We all have issues with moving in and out of some of these problems. Number one is ungrateful. Ungrateful. Being ungrateful. And this is so important. If you want to walk in faith and have the spirit of faith, as we do in this church at Living Word, we've got to be grateful. We've got to be thankful. I know we talk about it during Thanksgiving time, to thank God, this week, just devote your time to being thankful and so on and so forth. But this is something that we need to do all the time. Don't allow the spirit of the world to contaminate us where we get to the point that we are ungrateful. In other words, we are so focused on what we want and unthankful for what we have. Amen? Even the littlest blessings that you are blessed with, you were able to get out of bed this morning. You were able to take a breath this morning. Hallelujah. You were able to speak this morning. You were able to get dressed this morning and have breakfast this morning, some of you. Amen? There's so many things to have thankful for. The most important thing, we as born-again children of God, we're thankful that we're on our way to heaven. That we're born again, that we have the life of God on the inside of us. Glory to God. So, see, that's one of the areas. Unthankful for what we have. God, we thank you. Even if it's not much, even the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. In other words, don't despise it, be thankful. Because if you're thankful, guess what? You're going to get more. You're going to get more. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe our Heavenly Father just loves us when we just crawl up on his lap spiritually and say, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for giving me all the good things. Now, it's easy to write down the list of bad things, isn't it? There's always plenty of those around, but let's concentrate on the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Hallelujah. So, another problem we have, goes along with ungrateful is greed. We see that all around us. And there was a quote that I just have it written down here. I don't know who quoted this, who wrote this the first time, but it says, the better off we are, the more miserable we are. Probably one of the men of God of old. The better off we are, the more miserable we are. In other words, we're in a condition, no matter what we get, we still move back into that misery. Amen? Have any of you thought, boy, I just had to have this thing? It'll just make me feel like I'm at the top of the world. Glory to God. If I just go out and get this new car or this new something. Amen? And you get it home, and guess what? You're still not satisfied. And that's where some people get into excessive spending and order online. They drive Amazon. They have their Amazon truck driving up to their house 24 hours a day, you know. Hallelujah. But listen, I mean, online shopping is easy, right? We don't have to get out and go to the mall. But what I'm saying is that we are so, again, so focused on what we want and get, we're thinking that is going to fix it, but it really won't. It's a condition of our soulish realm, and that can only be touched by God as we are training ourselves in the things of God. Hallelujah. Number two is the area of being unholy. Being unholy. Making choices that are polluting our hearts. Not our physical hearts, but our soul, the real us. Again, contaminating, polluting our hearts. See, God is full of mercy, but we carry the regrets, we carry the shame, we carry these things that we have allowed to come into our life. And so we carry the weight of those things. Even though 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's another thing. A lot of times people have a problem, forgiving themselves of what they've done. So they carry that. And that can affect our attitude. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 through 23. All right? Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words. Fill your thoughts with my words. See, the only thing that's going to cause us to adjust our attitudes is filling ourselves with God's word. Amen? Until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart. In other words, guard your attitude. Guard your attitude. Guard the affections of your heart. Where, you know, what touches you? Where are your affections? Huh? Think about that. I'm just talking about all of us. Again, it's so easy. The current of the world, the magnetic pull of evil, of the world, things like this is constantly bombarding our minds and bombarding our attitudes and sometimes penetrating if we dwell on those things. All right? They're pushing us back. We're talking about going full throttle for God. And see, these are some of the things that hold us back. Guard your affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. Get your mind off of everybody else's problems. And focus on God to overcome, through the power of the Spirit, the things that are holding you back. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it goes on to say, for from there, from your innermost being, flows the wellsprings of life. Now, we use this scripture on healing many times, and it does. It'll cause healing to come to you mentally, physically, and every other way if you do what God is telling you to do here in His Word. Amen? Number three, let's move on. I'm running out of time this morning. I should be moving faster, but I'm not. Unloving. Unloving. One of the attitudes of the world is unloving. See, real love is not about your feelings. You choose to love everybody. And especially with this, racism and all this kind of stuff going on. Hey, when I grew up, and I know different, Pastor Judy grew up back here in the 60s with the busing and stuff, but where I grew up, in church, we there was no problem. I mean, we were mainly a white church, but I had no prejudice of any type. And in California, you had different races, for everything. Everything in the city where we grew up. And so, we used to sing that song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. And so, we've got to fill our hearts with love. Amen. It doesn't go about feelings. It's not political. It's nothing. See, unconditional, unselfish love, always putting self behind others, always putting ourselves behind somebody else. Paul said it this way, preferring somebody else above yourself, preferring the other person. Open the door for it and let the other person go before you, doing something good. In fact, Paul encourages the church, to do good unto all men, no matter what race, no matter what condition of their life, whether it's the wealthy or the poor or whatever. Do good unto everybody you come in contact with. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. I remember maybe last year or something, we were doing that, you know, be kind or do something good to somebody, pay for somebody, you know, Dunkin' Donuts, it's coming up behind you. Somebody did that to us not too long, a couple weeks ago, and it was for something. Yeah, it was Starbucks. Somebody paid for our drink. It wasn't a spiritual thing. It was, I don't know what it was. It was autism or something like that. They were doing it, but it was awesome. You know, and in fact, the girl at Starbucks handed us the card that went with what the person wanted to share with us, and it was about autism and stuff. And you know, if we could practice that kind of thing, just normally, you know, have a living word card or something that, you know, we give you, and you can pick it up in the back and just, you know, pay for the person. You know, I told Pastor Judy, we weren't ordering much that day. I said, man, we should have ordered something big. We weren't listening to God, man. We should have got one of those Frappuccino things or whatever, you know? Hallelujah, instead of just a coffee. But it's a blessing to bless. If we're thinking about being a blessing to others more than ourselves being blessed, see, that's the key to the kingdom. That's the key to the kingdom. That'll unlock things for you, praise God. And you know, Proverbs says very plainly, you know, if you give to the poor, it says God will repay you. If you give to the poor. See, all of this is conditioning our hearts to having the right attitude so God can use us in more of the spiritual things. Amen? How many of you want to be used in the greater works? Glory, to touch people spiritually, see them healed. All right. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We love that. But let's listen to this in the Passion Translation. Love is large and incredibly patient. Now, does that speak of your life? Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best of others. And that's a message to the church. We've got to believe the best of everybody. We who are spiritual are to restore those who are weaker among us and maybe fall and make mistakes. There's not a perfect one among us that doesn't fall in some way or short. Amen? But it's God's grace, it's God's mercy. We can just get up and keep going. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Amen. Hallelujah. Said, Pastor, I just blew it. I had a rotten attitude. Well, put it behind you. Confess it. Get rid of it. We're all stinkers at times. You can ask my wife. Come on now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Husbands and wives know. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's another subject altogether. But we as a church, we who are a people of God, need to, again, guard our souls, guard the real us, the real person, and not be contaminated. So these are the list of things that will help us. Another, number four in this area is being unforgiving, holding grudges. Holding grudges will pollute our heart and hinder our prayer life. Amen? In Mark 11:25. You know, I love Mark 11:23 and 24. That's our faith. If you've been around here long enough, you know what those scriptures are. Amen. Speak to the mountain. Hallelujah. And so on and so forth. But verse 25 connects to 23 and 24. And God says, whenever you stand praying, if you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. But if you will not release forgiveness, don't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. That's pretty strong, isn't it? See, we got to remember John 10:10 says a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's working on you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You've always got to be on guard for the enemy to trip you up, especially if you have had issues in any of these negative attitudes that we've been talking about this morning. He knows how to get you to respond to certain things. He'll get people in your way. He'll put circumstances in your way. He'll do all kinds of things to get you to snap and go back to that emotion that you've been having problems with. Hallelujah. And see, we are not ignorant. Paul says we are not ignorant of his devices. He's going to do the same thing every time because, listen, there are familiar spirits that's been following your family forever, forever, forever. And if there is a weakness, if there is a weak spot, amen, he knows what it is. And he knows how to throw the switch. He knows how to get your temper going. Come on now. He knows how to get you hot under the collar. And see, that's where you have to flip the switch of faith. And said, I feel like killing that dude, but I'm going to love him. Hallelujah. I used to, Jesus said, well, I'll turn the other cheek. I said, I'll turn it twice, but that's it. You can have this one, but after that, I'm not responsible. Glory to God. But Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is very, I said, if somebody asks you for your shirt, give them your coat also. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We ought to be like Jesus. I don't know if we can do that. Yeah, we have the same Holy Spirit that Christ has. He's living on the inside of us, and he wants to promote our spiritual growth. Praise God, so we can go full throttle for the things of God. Hallelujah. So the enemy's out there, and we've been warned about that. He's wanting to pollute our faith. He's wanting to pollute. In fact, faith worketh by love. And if he moves us out of the love of God, our faith will not work. Our prayers will be hindered. We'll not get answers. We'll not break through in a lot of areas that we're believing God for. So that's why we've got to stay on the Bible and only on the Bible, and do what the Bible says, the B-I-B-L-E. Amen? I stand upon the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Hallelujah. So I might not feel like being thankful. I might not feel like being good all the time. I might not feel like being lovable and loving people. All right? Because we're in the world and not of us, our thinking is, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to get you. I'm not going to figure out what you did to me. And so on and so forth. And for some reason, you know what that does? See, you're a spirit man. A spirit man is born of God. It's of God. The Holy Spirit's moved in there. But you have your mind, you have your soulish realm, and then you have your flesh. And your flesh, you're either going to go one way or the other. And Pastor Judy's going to be talking about that tonight, and you need to be coming. and listening and being trained in the Word of God so you know how to fight these emotions. Amen. That's basically what she's going to be talking about tonight. Hallelujah. And so we have to make a decision which way we're going to go. Remember, we read that scripture in Deuteronomy. Where there, I said before you, blessing and cursing. Now you choose what you're going to do, what attitude you're going to have. The enemy has put this thing in front of you. And so if you're full of the Word of God, then God's Word's going to come up on the inside of you. And when you want to kill somebody, it's going to say love. When somebody does something to you, see, the Spirit of God will say, forgive, release, restore, think the best of that person. See, and that goes against the flesh. That goes against the natural man. Because we want to deal with things. Hallelujah. But let God deal with it. Let go and let God deal with it. Praise God. Amen. In fact, the Bible says if we will love that person, that it will literally heap coals of fire upon their head. Because they won't know how to deal with love. They're used to being cussed at and everything else. But when they do you wrong and you just love them, I mean, love penetrates. I mean, love, yeah, pow. The force is with you. Pow. Glory to God. You're loving. You choose to have that attitude of love. And listen, with that comes the spirit of faith. Amen. A couple of scriptures we're going to end it with. I'm 5 minutes over. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Our hearts ache. This is Paul now. The Apostle Paul went through a lot of things. He was shipwrecked. He went to prison, all this kind of stuff. Our hearts ache. That tells me he was having some hurts, emotionally hurts. But we always have joy. How can you do that? It seems like it's just the opposite. Paul says, my heart aches, but I always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, but yet have everything. What a scripture. We have nothing, but yet have everything. When you have God, you have everything that you need. Hallelujah. Jerry Savell years ago wrote a book, If the Satan Can Steal Your Joy, He Can Keep Your Goods. If the enemy can steal your joy, he can keep your goods. Amen. I like what, one more scripture. I have a lot more, but that's all I have time for. We'll review next week. Okay, Acts 26:2. And this was the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. I think myself happy. Amen. How are you going to think this in the morning when you get up? How are you going to think when you walk out of the church today? It's a continual process, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's a continual process. God set before us joy. He sets before us peace. He sets before us long life, many days, prosperity. But it's our choice if we're going to walk in them or not. Amen. Let's lift up our hands. Praise God. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to come into your presence and just to feed on your word today. Lord, to learn how to make the right choices and have the right attitudes, not just periodically, but all the time, as we allow your word to sink into our hearts and fill us. And propel us, hallelujah, so we can go full throttle for you in this year, in this decade of 2020. And we give you praise for that. We thank you for your glory. Oh, hallelujah, filling the earth. You said the last days your earth will fill, the glory will fill the earth. Hallelujah, as the waters does the sea. And we rejoice in that, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Christ this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer that, you know, you might have problems with some of these areas and you haven't given your life over to God. I'm telling you, there's nothing on earth that can work on your attitude more than Christ in you. Jesus being the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. Because you have Him on the inside of you. You have His Spirit on the inside of you. And God said, I love you so much that I sent Him to die on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me. He took my place. And so the Bible says how we're born again, how we come into the kingdom of God, how we become a child of God is simply believing that Jesus went to the cross and died for us and confessing Him as Lord of our lives. And I want you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I thank you that you sent Jesus, your only Son, to die on the cross for me. And Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. And I thank you right now that I'm your child, Father.